Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Doing very well. I think we'll have a program today, a continuation, in a way, of what we were talking about yesterday.
A little bit, yeah.
About Venezuela and what was happening, and we were anticipating that, you know, with Guaido coming and say, I'm coming home again, I'm the president. And then there was the question of what would the so-called duly elected president say about this? What will Maduro do? And of course, the neocons, they're the planners, the schemers, and the ones who really want regime change, and they're involved in this. So they were hoping for, and they thought it would happen, that Maduro was stupid and he would just fall into the trap and immediately arrest him or shoot him or something like that. He just totally ignored him. So it was in a way, it was a non-event, but it was a big event.
Yeah.
The fact that he didn't respond the way the conspirators had hoped he would respond. You know, I find this is... it's interesting, but we go through this all the time because we talk about, Guaido and Maduro, and they're two factions, and yet we just can't get excited about either side. Say, hey, these are great guys. But all we can do is sort it out and try to tell people what's happening and at least lean toward, what law should be said. But you know, our advantage to dealing with this is we don't have to know what is exactly the best thing for the people of Venezuela.
Yeah.
But what we want to propose and suggest something very strange is, oh, maybe it's none of our business. Why don't we argue the case for letting the Venezuelans sort this out and therefore get us out of it? And that, of course, is what we want to do. But anyway... Guaido came, nothing much happened, except I guess the biggest thing that happened was there are a few people here who are very unhappy that there wasn't a tremendous escalation, and guess who the ones were that weren't so happy? Guys like Bolton and Rubio. Wonder why they'd be unhappy. But they weren't too happy. They were hoping for escalation and it didn't happen.
They were drooling for her. They couldn't wait. If you watched their tweets yesterday, they were giddy with anticipation. Bolton said any interference with Guaido's return would be met with, quote, strong and significant response from the U.S. Pence said any action taken against Guaido will not be tolerated and will be met with a swift response. They were setting it up, letting you know what was going to happen. They were dying for him to be arrested. And we did, we don't have it here, but I saw the video of him returning. It looked to me like a staged event. Remember when they pulled down the statue of Saddam and it was all a staged event? Everyone had their phones up exactly in order, taking the video of it. It was very interesting. None of them looked starving, by the way. They all looked pretty well-dressed and healthy. But here's another interesting thing about his return. He was flanked by U.S., EU, and Latin American diplomats, providing a protective corridor in case they tried to arrest him. You'd have to harm a foreign diplomat to do that. And imagine if the shoe were on the other foot and there was an American who was actively engaged in overthrowing the Trump regime, overthrowing the U.S. government. He went over to Moscow to get his marching orders, you know. And then when he flew back into Dulles, he was flanked by Chinese and Russian diplomats just daring Trump, don't you arrest him, you know. It sounds a little bit different when you think of it that way, but that's essentially what happened.
You know, you have that. It's symbolic, but very important. But at the same time, they announced that the United States was communicating and meeting with 50 countries that fully support us in this overthrow, this coup that's going on. And I would say that that probably wasn't all very spontaneous. I think a little pressure is put on them. But you mentioned Pence and his position there, and I think it was better when he was much quieter, you know, because he becomes more annoying when he's doing all this tweeting. But he brought up the subject of Cuba yesterday, too. And it's the Cubans are the bad guys, and we have to do it. And we have to stand up. And this is a quote. The rights of the people, the rights of the Cuban people, that is our job. So what are we going to do? We have to reinstitute and put more sanctions on and really punish the Cuban government. But what he's saying, He wants to punish and hurt more the people. He claims he has this moral obligation to protect the rights of those individuals by us undermining their economic system. That's a bit annoying to me.
Isn't it funny how they get on their hobby horse? Now, Cuba's his hobby horse. It's been for a long time. Venezuela's just an excuse for him to go back to beating up on Cuba.
Yeah.
You know, that's his real thing. But, you know, you talk about, you know, the U.S. wants Venezuela to adopt a free market, stop this socialism. And we would agree the free market is definitely preferable to a state-oriented economy. But why don't we practice what we preach? If we are so eager for them to adopt a free market, why don't we adopt a free market approach to them? Why are we acting like the biggest socialists and totalitarians, not letting them import or export anything, sanctions and all this? You know, so it's pretty hypocritical.
You know, a couple of articles came out recently, and I'm not surprised, but they were pointing out that Guaido has been interested in this project for a long time, even as a student. He mm-hmm. attended certain rallies and things that went on in Mexico and other organizations, which literally laid the plans. There was a group met in 2013. They were laying out plans. And he attended a group that was talking about this as early as 2010. You know, so this is not just, spontaneously, we had a bad election. We suspect the election is, suspicious, so therefore we have to get rid of this unelected leader. I think we've heard about that before. Yeah. He's not a legitimate president, and therefore we have to get rid of him. Yeah. But one thing you have to give him credit for is they are rather patient. They're irritated, but they'll work at something for a long time. You know, on this they've worked, you know, years now. Of course, we stick with some of our positions, too, for way too long. We're bullheaded as well, too. We'd stay in a country like Afghanistan for 17 years, you know, and we've been 8 years in Syria, so we're bullheaded, too. But the opposition, the left, the far left, and the people who want that type of government, they're pretty determined as well.
Yeah, and those trainings that you were talking about, those were financed by the U.S. government.
Yeah, that's right. The CIA was involved.
Yeah, they were. And Max Blumenthal did a great investigative report, and he looked into all of these things. And Guaido and his ally, Leopoldo López, who's in jail, they're part of the most violent opposition party in Venezuela, and that's they were identified by the U.S. But, you know, the interesting about the fact that Guaido wasn't arrested, you know, and everyone's dejected, the neocons are dejected. So what do we do? So what the State Department did this morning, and I don't have it up, unfortunately, but people can find the tweet. The State Department decided to flip it around, and they said, they used as evidence that he wasn't arrested, they said, that means that the military has turned against the president and are now doing our bidding. We've got this great turn, you know. So it really is a false propaganda of a mass defection. They didn't refuse Maduro's orders to arrest him. They obeyed his orders to not arrest him, understanding it was a provocation.
You know, that's interesting how they've been able to do that, because there's been so many other things that they falsely used, you know, like the bridge incident, that who really was preventing the aid from coming in. But, you know, there's the aid issue really is the precipitating factor here in the last couple weeks, saying that, Maduro's starving his children and, mm-hmm. and he won't let the aid come in. And there's been good evidence to show why they should be very distrustful of aid. It seems like people have used the term Trojan horse, and yeah. we send the aid in, and we did it in Central America and different places. We send aid in. There may be a little bit of food, making sure that it goes to their allies, but they send in, literally they send in cash in sometimes. Sometimes they send guns, trying to arm the revolutionaries. But they have to pass out a lot of lies. And you, in order for them to do that, I keep thinking in psychological terms, they have to be sociopaths, because lying doesn't bother them, and they can lie, and I sense this in our own government day in and day out. They lie, but it never bothers them. There's no shame, no guilt whatsoever, and this international stuff is built on it. Matter of fact, they feel good about it is we were shrewd. We told a really good lie,
yeah.
And they bought into it, and we overthrew that government because we stirred up the people, and they bought into this. And I often think about this because I wonder, do they lie to themselves too? And I think there's some of that. But they determine what is good, what they consider is good. It's justifiable to lie about. That's a communist rule, you know,
yeah.
that you establish right and wrong and truth. And it seems like human nature is drawn to that type of trick.
Yeah, lie is the right word. These are the exact same people who lied us into Iraq, who lied about Libya, who lied about Syria. Anyone believing them, it doesn't matter what you think about Maduro or anything about the situation. Anyone who believes these people should have their heads examined because they're proven liars over and over.
Yeah,
You know, so this, I think, I would call his return the second sort of 2.0 regime change. The first one, remember, he promised, Guaido promised, I'm going to take several hundred thousand people. We're going to go get those aid trucks and bring them in. The fact is, nobody came with him. He was pretty much by himself. There was a small group.
Wait a minute. Weren't there 700?
There's 700. That's right.
Well, you still have to watch them.
That's right. There were a few people there, but that didn't happen. So what he did, and this is something interesting that I dug up just this morning, Dr. Paul, he took a tour. He's been away for 11 days. He took a tour of friendly Latin American countries, the places where the U.S. Puppets are in power. His handler on this trip was a woman called Kimberly Breyer. She's now with the State Department. She was literally at his side throughout this tour. Her career, guess where it was? CIA. So he's literally marching around Latin America with the CIA officer holding his hand, you know. But we're not trying to intervene in their affairs.
Well, when you hear stories like that, that's just another good reason to put on our list why we should not even have a CIA, because they are nothing but trouble, and they're professional liars. And yet more and more people know this. There's a disconnect when you do a statistic and you ask the American people, do you trust the government? Do you believe what they're telling you? You know, what is it, like 70%? No, I don't trust the government. But then they hear the lies over and over again, and then they believe them, or they go along with whatever they have to do. So it's propaganda is very powerful, but overall, what they have to realize is that their instincts of not trusting what our government tells you. But who wants to not trust our own government? You know, the instinct is you know, a certain amount of that is required to live in a civilized society. At least pretend we're civilized.
Yeah.
But no, they keep doing it. So it's this instinct to know they're telling a lie, and instinct to believe the propaganda.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I would just close with a couple of quick things. First of all, there's no question there are people in Venezuela having a hard time. I don't question that at all. It's a combination of things that, you know, the system didn't work so well. The U.S. sanctions certainly didn't help much. Stealing a few billion of their dollars didn't help much. But I would challenge anyone to look at a Guaido rally, look at the people that are there, look at how they're dressed, look at them all with cell phones, and then go ahead and look at some pictures from Yemen, where there really is a humanitarian crisis. For what crisis there may be in Venezuela, that's times 100 in Yemen, yet no one's talking about it. I think that's a very telling thing. But my final thing is I want to put up a JPEG because I've teased about this for a few days, but now we have tickets on sale for the Ron Paul Institute's Houston Conference. This is going to be a great one, Dr. Paul, winning the war on the war on drugs, May 18th in Houston, Texas. RonPaulInstitute.org/conference will get you tickets and all the information. The cost is low. We have early bird tickets on sale now. It's going to be a great event. Jacob Solem from Reason Foundation is going to be there. Dr. Paul will be speaking. We have Paul Armitano from the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Some other surprise speakers coming. It's going to be a great little event, and it'll be great to see all of the Ron Paul Liberty Report viewers there with us as well. Dr. Paul?
Very good. Thank you. And I hope to see a lot of you at that conference. And I'd like to close by just emphasizing a theme that you've heard me say before, and that is that the frustration level is always very high when you have to deal with a problem like we're talking about in Venezuela. We have two individuals and two factions, and we can't stand up and cheer and say, wow, this group is, you know, really fighting for liberty and things will be wonderful. So we can't make that decision. We don't have the authority to do it. It's not very practical to do it. We don't have the money to do it. If you as an individual like one side over the other, and there's so many battles going on around the world, we shouldn't have prohibitions that you can't go and get involved. But the only answer that I can come up with, well, what should we do about it? And to me, it's ideological. And that is to get as many Americans to agree what a free society is all about, and what sound money is all about, what non-intervention is all about, and set an example. And then have people look to us and say, you know, I think the Americans have a good idea. There was a time when more people thought of us that way, that we were much more attuned to individual liberty. But now, how can we condemn socialism elsewhere when we have it here? And they try to outpace each other. The Democrats want to be socialists, but we say, no, we don't like socialism, but we do like No Child Left Behind, and we do like prescription drug program and all these other things. So no, our job is to get people, it may be in many ways a whole generation of people, to realize that the replacement for what we have today is well known about it. It's understood. It's been studied throughout history. Our founders understood it. It's written in our Constitution. It's written in our Declaration. If we just believed it and did it out of necessity, we will have to, because this system is coming down and we will have a replacement. And the goal, of course, for me personally, is not to make it worse and have more government solutions. What we have to have is a greater understanding about what personal liberty is all about and set a standard for the rest of the world. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.